There are calls today for a national inquiry into insurance discrimination, a new report finding that two-thirds of people with a health condition are struggling to get coverage. That includes everyone from cancer survivors to people living with something like MS, for instance. And according to Legal Aid New South Wales, insurance companies are breaking the law by turning some of these people away. Jo Evans is a senior solicitor in New South Wales Legal Aid's consumer law team, which produced this report, and Lawrence Hibbert is a Sydney father who struggled to find insurance for his young son after his boy survived cancer. Jo, Lawrence, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thanks, Brian.
Good morning.
Jo, let's start with you. This research, I think you spoke to over 281 people. You asked people who are sick or who have an existing illness or disability about their experience of insurers. How easy was it for the people you surveyed to get the insurance they needed? What was the key finding?
Fran, the key finding was that it was extremely difficult for the people that we spoke to get insurance, both to get insurance at all and also to get insurance that suited their needs. And the other thing that people found was that they were found that unfair conditions were put on their insurance. So, for example, extra premiums without a proper basis for that extra cost.
Now, I think a lot of people listening will go, well, if someone is ill, has a pre-existing condition, well, of course, an insurer's not going to want to take them on. Isn't that fair enough? Isn't that insurance works? It's all about risk.
That's right, and the Disability Discrimination Act recognises that. But the point that we're making is that if insurers want to make a decision not to take someone on or to put an extra premium on it, that decision needs to be based on a proper assessment of the risk. So they need to be relying on real actuarial or statistical data, and the decision must be reasonable. And the concern that we have and what comes out in the report is that people are saying that the questions that they're asked and the assessment process isn't tailored to their individual circumstances. So, for example, people feel that they essentially get tarnished. You know, they talk about what they use words like cancer or they have particular diagnoses of health conditions, and then a whole lot of assumptions are made about them and their risk.
So as soon as they say that, I have cancer or I have had cancer?
Yeah, I mean, people's experiences are inconsistent, but for example, they might be asked a whole lot of questions about their situation, but they'll say the questions didn't fit their medical situation. The other thing that people were saying is that, you know, they might have been 10 years clear, 10 years healthy, they're really active, they're playing sport every day, but because they've had this diagnosis in their past, they're still being not able to get the cover that they need.
And just before I come to you, Lawrence, Jo, what was one of the worst examples you heard in terms of either people being refused or conditions being put on?
So we spoke to one woman who she wanted travel insurance. She had a particular type of leukemia. She was asked whether she had received a certain type of treatment, and because she hadn't, her risk was assessed as greater. When she went to her specialist about that, her specialist told her that treatment is no longer used. It's so out of date that the question is almost negligent, is what her surgeon, her specialist said.
And she was denied coverage.
She was denied. She was able to get some cover, but not cover for her her health condition.
Lawrence, let's go to you because you've someone who's experienced this as a consumer in the insurance area. Your young son overcame cancer at a very young age. I think he was 18 months old when he
diagnosed at 18 months.
7 years on, he was declared healthy.
Yes.
So he was 8 and a half, and you wanted to go overseas, and you tried to get travel insurance. What happened?
The process is an online process, as most people do today. They book everything online.
Yep.
And as soon as you say you have a pre-existing medical condition, you find that they place a hurdle in front of you immediately that you have to get a third-party report regarding that cancer, which then is provided to the insurer, who then assesses the insurance cover. You have to pay for that report, first of all.
And that's a report from a doctor or somebody?
Well, no, it's from a third party, a corporate provider.
Oh.
So it's not from your doctor or not from the treating oncologist. It's from a third party provider who provides the insurer with a report. The insurer then makes an assessment and will or may not provide you with cover. In some cases, they said that the cover was mandatory. You had to accept the cover. You were contractually bound to accept the cover regardless of what the price was. So I was a little bit concerned about this. I started emailing the companies directly to say my child had acute myeloid leukemia. He's 6 and a half years out of treatment. His oncologist says he's perfectly safe to travel. And most of them came back and said, well, we would decline you. We don't accept the cover.
And is your concern, or your fury, I suppose, I can imagine, Lawrence, at this, that you would have, to get through this process, had to spend $200 or $300 of your own time and the hassle and the delay of that? Was that your major concern? Or your major concern was that no attention seemed to be paid to the fact that your young boy was clear?
Well, my major concern was I already bought the tickets.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get cover. In terms of we would not have travelled if the oncologist had said it was not perfectly safe to travel. We wouldn't travel 100 kilometres from the hospital if we thought it wasn't safe. So we accepted the risk was nominal. What I did then was I just started scouring the internet for cover and eventually came up with a subsidiary of a large British insurer who had a completely online checking system which identified individual cancers and ask you specific questions according to the last treatment, chemotherapy and drugs. And with that, it declared that since he was 5 years out of treatment, he therefore was cured. They provided us with cover at a premium of 50% on top of the cover, which was quite reasonable. And we went on holiday.
It's 16 minutes to nine. I guess Lawrence Hibbert. Lawrence Hibbert has a young son, and when they tried to get travel insurance, as you just heard, they faced all sorts of hurdles. Joe Evans is the senior solicitor in New South Wales Legal Aid's consumer law team. Joe, what Lawrence brought up there, this notion of an insurance company ignoring basically the recommendations of a doctor and an oncologist, and insisting instead on a report, is that the major issue? That the insurance companies aren't really doing a risk assessment based on a medical assessment, an appropriate medical assessment? And should they be doing that rather than having the person on the end of the line or at the online process just making a decision according to a few checklists?
Mm. I mean, I think there's a few issues there. The law says the decision must be reasonable and based on actuarial or statistical data to establish the risk. So yes, it should be made on medical advice. And what the experience Lawrence talks about is it was a theme that came out in our survey, that people were saying they had letters from their own treating specialists saying that they were safe to travel, that the risk was low, but they were still being knocked back.
So Joe, are insurers breaking the law?
Potentially, in some of these matters, the insurers are in breach of the Disability Discrimination Act, yes.
And are they aware of that? Have you done any work with the insurers themselves?
I think a lot of work has been done in the industry, and there's been a lot of media attraction around the issue of specifically mental health and travel insurance, and I think your program has covered that. But one of the points we want to make with this report is that the issue is broader than mental health. The people that were responding to our survey were cancer survivors, people with MS, with cardiovascular disease. So we're saying that the issue is much bigger. We don't know the extent of the problem, but our survey certainly indicates there is a problem, and that's consistent with other data and research that's coming out.
You want the Human Rights Commission to launch a national inquiry. Lawrence, do you think that's a good idea? What do you want to happen here?
I think that for things like insurance cover and also other issues regarding acutely ill children is... in our agile system with everything online, it's about keeping the costs down. And that means that many insurers don't want to go near difficult cases. Our children and adults with these type of diseases are in a very small number, and therefore a lot of insurers say this is just too hard. We can't provide low-cost premiums if we have to consider everyone.
And Joe, what do you think a Human Rights Commission inquiry would achieve?
So we think that this problem is systemic. We suspect it's really widespread. So we need that information. It would bring the information out. I mean, a national inquiry by Human Rights Commission, we're not calling for that, you know, in isolation. We also call for insurers to review their own policies, to review blanket exclusions, but also examine their processes for assessing risk. And we call on ASIC to look at whether insurers might be breaching their licence conditions under the corporations law.
You want the regulators to take a hand here?
We do. I mean, people have individual rights. There are complaints processes, there are courts, there are tribunals. You can go to the Australian Financial Complaints Authority. But if we rely on individuals on a case-by-case basis, we're unlikely to get systemic change. So certainly the message needs to get out that when people are refused cover on the basis of the health condition, they might have a legal remedy. And our survey shows that a lot of people don't know that. People don't tend to take action. But we would relying on an individual complaint system is not going to achieve systemic change.
Jo Evans, Lawrence Hibbert, thank you very much for joining us. Jo Evans is a senior solicitor in New South Wales Legal Aid's consumer law team, and Lawrence Hibbert, whose son, young son, was refused initially insurance cover. In a statement, the Insurance Council of Australia says it's aware of this report and will consider the findings and recommendations. It's 12 minutes to 9.